Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace, and today is the first Monday of the month, time for Guy Talk. But what we're going to do is we're going to push Guy Talk back a week, and we're going to do something special today. Today we are going to bring to you Stupid, how procrastination led to amputation. Today we're going to be talking about how we put off these little medical things, you know, things medically that we need to go get taken care of. While they're small things, but we procrastinate, we put it off, we don't want to be bothered. Maybe we think, like me, we know better, and we can handle it. And these things escalate and they become bigger things. And they have serious consequences for ourselves and for our families. So today, the LAID team is all in the house today. And we are all going to share with you stories of how we have let things like this happen. So right now I'm going to let in Tyson and the guys, Tyson and Don. And we're going to wait for Ms. Z to come along, okay? Hey, Tyson.
Hello.
Yes. How you doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Let me let Don in. Hey, Don.
Right now, what's going on? How you feeling? Hey, what's up, Tyson?
Okay. And you?
All right.
How you doing?
All right. Everything good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, guys, I think we have all, and when I say all, I mean everybody, we have these little experiences where we might have something going on that we know we really need to go see somebody about. You know, see a doctor about, maybe we, you know, we kind of wait, maybe we will let it pass, or, see if it'll pass, or we don't want to be bothered. I don't like to be bothered by doctors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I don't like to take medicines. I don't like all this stuff. So today's topic is stupid, how procrastination led to amputation. I'm going to share with you guys my story, and I know you guys have some things to share. And so what happened with me is that, as you guys know, I recently just got out of the hospital. I have bought new shoes back in. Do you remember when we did the blind date?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we did that show?
Mm-hmm.
This is when it started.
Yes.
That's when this started. I had bought some shoes, and my toes were rubbing against the shoe. Now I wear size 13, women's 13, so can't really get any bigger than that without going to a specialty shop. And and I was trying to look cute. So, I bought these shoes, and the skin on my second toe and on my pinky toe kind of rubbed off because my toes, they're like hammer toes, crow's. From not walking, they start to claw under, and so like they're like knuckles sticking up, and the skin rubbed off. And at first, it was very minor; it was little, it really was. And it was like, okay, put a little ointment on it, whatever. And then it started getting worse, and it's like, ma, go check that out. So I finally, after procrastinating, maybe about a month, I went to go check it out at one of the urgent care facilities. He said, I went to my doctor. I went to the doctor. And they, put some Neosporin on it and some gauze. Did that. But I still kept stuffing it into a shoe, which made it worse.
Yeah.
Now I have decreased sensation in my feet, so I don't really feel the foot. And I can't really see it that good because I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this toe ended up looking at the second toe. By the time I went to the third doctor, a podiatrist, he looked at my foot and he just sat there and he just looked at it. He didn't say anything because there was nothing he could do.
Uh-huh.
It needed to go to wound care. And I knew that, so it's like, okay, I'll do it. Kept putting it off. And this toe started looking like it went through a meat grinder.
Wow.
And so my sister, she saw the toe. And she told my boys, one of y'all going to get her to the hospital tomorrow. It don't matter which one of y'all, get her to the hospital tomorrow. And I had already decided myself, too, that I was going to go to the hospital. But in that decision to go to the hospital is a lot. One, I use a scooter. right? Now, going to the hospital with your scooter is a little difficult because what's going to happen to the scooter? You know, I could have went by myself in the scooter, but what happens to the scooter after, you know, I'm in the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? As far as moving around and all that kind of stuff like that. Right. So it's like, okay, I'm going to need to have somebody with me. Ideally, it would be my son, Jabril, because he could get on the scooter and take it back home, whatever it is. You know, I also thought about things like if I need to stay. What about that when I have to use the bathroom? You know, I don't want to use a bedpan. All these little things that don't really matter.
Sure.
Came into play, and the end result is I had osteomyelitis. That's what it's called, osteomyelitis, and it's a bone infection. What is it? Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
It had a Mercer infection also,
mm-hmm.
to where now I was in a regular room at first. Now they put me in a private room, and anybody who came to see me had to come and put on a gown,
mm-hmm.
mask, and all this kind
yeah.
of stuff
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is a fucking toe. Excuse my language. Skin rubbed off my toe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Do you understand how ridiculous this is? This is now at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And my family is feeling like, you know, when I told my daughter, and this is what really clicked with me. My daughter was on the train. She's like, hey, Mom, how you doing? You know, whatever. And I told her that the toe had to be amputated. And she broke down crying on the train. And it made me realize that it's like when you look at your children, and your children do, like, especially during the teenage years, they're doing things, and you honestly cannot control what they're doing.
Right.
Because you can't be with them 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're watching them do things that you know might be harmful to them, but you can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how that feels. I know how many nights as a mother I sat there and cried because my children was doing something that was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am. I have 9 offspring. I have 5 children and 4 grandchildren that I say I love, you know, that I know who need me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet I'm sitting here and I'm letting myself go because I feel fine. I'm okay. I feel fine. You know, and I realized how unfair it was to them. And so this just became a big old thing. You know, and I was very honest with the doctor. I said, listen, I'm a good lady, but I'm not a good patient. You know, I don't know how good I am going to be on follow-up because they were going to let me go and then come back to get the amputation. I don't know how many people want to go in to get amputated. I'm like, I'm already here.
No.
Y'all need to let me stay.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me stay. You know, and pardon me, what you say?
Nope.
You know,
nope.
But, you know,
not go up.
The thing is, not going back, that would have went up my leg.
It's worse.
And that would have been something different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, so they sent me home with this you know, routine that I have to do with the medicine, you know, whatever, which I've been sticking to. I'm very proud to say I've been sticking to. And I also found out that I have stage 3A chronic kidney disease, which kind of blew me, you know, took me for a loop. I just dealing with all of this and trying to make sense of it, you know what I mean? But committing myself to make sure that I take care of myself the way I'm supposed to, you know? And you know, do you guys have anything to share? First, let me let Ms. V in. Hey, Ms. V.
Hi, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hey, Ms. V, what's going on?
Hi, Ms. V. All right. How you doing?
Hi.
Okay.
So you hear what we're talking about, right?
Yeah,
you know what we're talking about?
I hear. Yes, I do.
Okay, so we're going to let Tyson, do you have anything to share in terms of
Well,
stupid?
The advantage of what happens to you is that I have an appointment every month, one for the ear, one for my eyes, and one for my foot. every month, starting next month, I have a doctor's appointment, and I'm going to keep it. That's what I told myself. Keep the appointment. I'm going to keep my appointment. Yes. I'm going to go.
Definitely good. I'm glad. I'm glad.
Because of you. Why would you? That's why I'm going to keep my appointment, you see?
Good. Yes. Do you usually put them off and procrastinate?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I'm glad that what I went through is inspiration enough for you to go and keep your appointment. Don, what about you?
Yes.
Oh, yes, indeed. I get that whole thing with the, that's what happened to my left leg.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry. Does somebody have a TV on? Does somebody have their TV on?
Not me.
Ms. V, do you have your TV on?
Okay. No.
Go ahead, Don. Okay. Go ahead, Don.
What I was saying is like what happened to me was I had that, you know, like you said, with it started with the toe and everything like that. That's what happened to my left leg, actually. I, you know, was sort of in that denial thing, you know. It was like I knew something was wrong, but not quite knowing exactly how serious it was. But see, like, unlike you, you went and got yours treated, right? I didn't. It spread, like you said. It spread throughout the leg, throughout the foot, and then from the toe, throughout the whole foot, and then out the leg. Not the whole entire leg. It was below the knee. But by the time the damage, by the time I really actually really seriously did anything about it, it was too late. I mean, it was like it was critical, you know, and I had to go. I went to the hospital, and they had to amputate below my knee. Yeah, you know.
Jeez.
So that was back in 2008. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had to, you know, and I was like, "Dad, I'm already blind, and now I'm amputee now, and you know how am I going to do the round and walking again and all that stuff." So I had to go through the therapy and all that stuff, and I had to stay. I had to stay a month in the hospital, and then I had to stay like 4 months in the rehab, learning how to walk again. Then they had to fit me for the prostheses, and I had to learn how to, you know, just learn how to walk again. Then I started thinking like, how am I going to do this blind, because I can't use a walker, and then a guide cane because I don't have three arms. You know, I was in the hospital bed, when I was thinking, I said to myself, I stayed in Kings County for like about a week, no, a month, I'm sorry. And, you know, and I was thinking to myself, I was amazing that I was able to get through this, but I was determined. I said in my mind, though, I was determined I was going to walk again. I said, I'm going to walk again. I was determined to do that, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't have it quite figured out, but I said, you know, what I started to do when I started to use the walker, I used it as a crutch, so to speak. I would fold the walker up and not like send it out. I would just keep it folded, and then I would use it in that sense. And I would use it, and I got the quad cane later on, and I started using the quad cane. So that's what I'm using now. I use the quad cane and my guide cane, you know. So
What kind of warning signs did you have with your leg?
Warning signs. Well, actually, it started like I said. It started from the foot. The body just went when it was the toe. It started with the little the fourth toe, the third toe. So what happened was it started from that, and I had to get my I was just ignoring it, so to speak. I was like, something is wrong, but you know, being blind and stuff like that, you don't really, you know, and like the same situation with you, like I deal with neuropathy, right? So the problem with that is that, you know, the feeling and sensation is not that great. So you start like, you know, okay, it's not really hurting, you know what I'm saying? And you know something is wrong, though. You just say, wait a minute, something is not right, you know, but you still, you know, it'll get better. It'll you know, you put it off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But while you're putting this off, this thing is spreading, you know what I'm saying? It's going, it's spreading out throughout your you know, throughout the whole thing. And it's not a good thing. You know,
but when you're aware that it's spreading.
When I realized that it was spreading, that it was it was too late, actually. By the time I really start to feel the pain of it, it was bad. See, that's the problem. See, if I'd have this, if I'd have done something, I could have probably saved my leg if I had went to the hospital and worked on it and got it taken care of. Yeah, I would have probably lost the toe and everything like that, but not the whole entire. Well, no, not part of the leg. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So,
Ms.
Yeah.
V, do you have any tales of procrastination or ignoring?
Oh yeah.
Medical
science,
share it with us, darling. Share it with us.
Well, what was it? Let me see. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. About 12 years ago, I was at a little Christmas party at Mount Sinai. And just as we was about to sing Christmas carols, or it might have been when we was just about to have lunch, but it was at a Christmas party at Mount Sinai. I felt this pain, boom, in my chest. It felt like gas. And I was like, Dad, where all of a sudden this gas pain came from? Because I hadn't eaten nothing or nothing. So where the gas came from? Anyway, I sat there. I didn't eat the food because the gas pain was so bad. And I came home. I went to Duane Reade, looked around for some gas pain medication. Couldn't find none. That was a Friday. The next day, the next day I still went to the store looking for gas pain medication. Couldn't believe the pain that was in my chest. That was Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all the way until Christmas Eve. I remember going to a birthday party for a friend of mine. The gas pain was still bad, and everything like that. I remember telling my son, I think this is more than gas pain. I remember being at the birthday party telling my friends that they were giving me ginger ale. They kept on saying, drink the ginger ale. The ginger ale will help the gas pain and everything like that. And I'm going home. I'm telling Wesley, I think this is more than gas pain. I think I got pneumonia. And I remember telling him, because I didn't feel good for those days. The gas was just so bad. And I said, Wesley, I didn't really get a chance to go and get the rest of your Christmas gift, but I do have a box in here with your Christmas gift in it. Go ahead and open that, and after Christmas, when I feel better with this gas, we're going to go shopping and get the rest of your gift. When he said to me, Mommy, he opened the gift, and when he said, Mommy, everything in this box is refurbished. I mean, it was something took me out. I can't even remember. So I remember telling my sister, the gas in my chest is really, really hurting me now. She said to me, this is Christmas Eve. She said, you need to go to the doctor because it sounds like you have more than just gas pain in your chest. Sounds like more than gas pain. I called the ambulance because I wasn't going to get no sleep anyway. I told my sister, let me just sleep, and then tomorrow morning I'll go to the hospital. And they wouldn't let me sleep, so I called the ambulance. The ambulance came. They was like, is this your real blood pressure? Like that. And I'm still not thinking nothing. We go to the hospital. I'm laying up in there. I'm still not thinking nothing. They running back and forth. I'm like, y'all doing all this over gas? Okay. We go take the x-ray and everything like that. And I'm going, well, okay, can I go home? And the doctor goes, home? You're having a heart attack, home, like that. Wow. So, from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for six days, I was having a heart attack, and I thought it was gas. I didn't know. I seriously didn't know. And when he said, go home, you're having a heart attack, and you've been having a heart attack for, 6 days now.
Wow.
I just started crying. I could not believe. Young me.
Wow.
And I was young at the time. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Now,
I could not believe it.
Did they have to do it? Did they do any type of, what did they do for it?
The next day they did a stent. They put a stent in. And while they were putting the stent in, I had a stroke. Now, the funny thing about that is, when I woke up from the stent, I kept on saying to the doctor, something's wrong with my hand. Something's wrong with my right side. Now, my polio, I have post-polio. That's on the left side of my body. I kept on saying something's wrong with the right side of my body. It's not moving. So the next day after they put the stent in, they told me they was going to send me home. So I went in the hospital on Wednesday, Christmas Day. They did the stent on that Thursday. They let me stay Friday. Saturday morning, they sent me home. The doctor said to me, I said, how could you send me home when there's something wrong with me? I'm telling you there's something wrong. They said, listen, we took care of what we were supposed to take care of. If you're having a problem other than whatever we took care of, when we send you home, discharge you, you go back into the emergency and let them know what the problem is. Yeah, that's what they did. I didn't do that. I went home and I stayed home under my covers in my bed, and I made an appointment for my doctor, and he sent me to have an MRI, and I didn't find out that I had a stroke until that was December. I found out I had a stroke in March. Then I had to start everything over, therapy. I had to learn how to get out of bed.
Sure.
I had to learn how to get out of bed. Use the toilet, everything. I think you know how to do everything over again.
Yeah.
Because I chose to stay.
Yes, I know what you mean. I had to learn everything over again, too. I had to learn everything. Yeah.
Wow. I'm still learning.
Yes, I am, too.
In some way.
Now, have any of you had any problems? Any of you had any problems when you go to the doctor as far as things being accessible for you, like the examining table, the rooms, or anything like that? Have any of you had any problems with that?
No, I haven't, because I go to the King's County, too.
You go where?
I haven't had none yet. Not yet.
Okay.
All
right.
When I go for my mammogram, I do.
Okay. Do you know that they have do you know that ICS has a program for women with disabilities to get accessible mammogram?
Yeah, I'm gonna start.
And they're
going to the same place I go to for.
Because they have clinics that they work with and that they have trained that work with us. You know, as far as staying seated and you know, they did work with us very good, very well. They do. And as far as, for our gynecological exams also. You know, so that's good. Because I think a lot of times one of the things that happens also is that we get a little discouraged as people with disabilities. You get a little bit discouraged when you go into a doctor's office and if you have a wheelchair like me with the scooter. You know, trying to get in some of these offices, you know, or something like that. A lot of times I sit in my chair, in my scooter, and get examined because a problem getting up on the table.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Imagine that.
Yep.
And that can be discouraging for people going to the doctor. You know, when you have so much trouble, if I'm going for a minor issue, and the biggest trouble is getting into the office or getting onto the table or whatever, you know, it may deter me from going to the doctor, but not me anymore. I'm going.
We live and learn. We make these mistakes, but we live and learn from them, though. You know,
yes.
We learn a valuable lesson. And this is what I do. I try to. That's why I tell people. I was telling my aide the other day. She's, you know, my regular aide is on vacation. She'll be back Thursday. But the lady that's filling in, I was telling her the other day. She's telling me she's having these problems with her eyes, and I'm telling her. I said, listen, don't make the same mistakes I've made. I know how to put that stuff off with your eyes. I said you need to see an ophthalmologist. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
oh, yeah.
Forget about these doctors that when you go get the eye exam for glasses.
Yeah, the optometrist.
No. Yeah, you need to go to the ophthalmologist. They need to go and examine your eye. They need to look at the back of the eye and all that stuff. They need to see, because
mm-hmm.
she's telling me she's seeing these flashes and all these things like that. I told her, I said, look, I went through that
uh-huh.
same thing, and I put it off, and I held it off, and I procrastinated. You know, remember the key word, procrastination. And
right.
don't make the mistakes I made. I'm telling you. It's a very complicated life. I mean, you don't want to lose your vision. You don't not as you
so
have to. You don't want to lose anything. Yes. Tough.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Tough. So learn.
Because you know one of the things that you know you because you feel like you kind of feel like that is never going to happen to me. You know,
yeah,
but you
yeah.
one another thing that you don't want to have to live is a life of restrictions. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to try and modify your life, you know, to a life of restriction. Oh, I can't have salt, I can't have sugar, I can't have this, I can't have that.
Yeah.
You know, and it becomes like, you know, so.
But I'll tell
really
you
kinda,
one thing, though. Life with restriction is better than life or no life. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
because
exactly. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I'll take the restrictions versus
mm-hmm.
no life at all. You know what I'm saying?
But if you can avoid it,
yes.
it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
if you keep yourself well and keep yourself in good shape. You know, a lot of us are like that. You know, none of us, we don't like to go to the doctor. I don't know anybody that said, man, I can't wait to go to the doctor. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I had
like
one
that,
doctor.
You know
I had one doctor I liked to go to, a neurologist. He was an Italian guy, and he was cute, and I loved the way he talked. I wanted to go see him, but go ahead. Anyway, go ahead,
y'all. I don't mind going over to Avenue I. I like going over there because they give out sandwiches and stuff. But that's another story. You know what I'm saying? That's another story. Yeah. But you know, we all been dealt the hand, you know, and we all got to make the best of it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. We
mm-hmm.
our lives continue on regardless of what the circumstances are. You know, we
mm-hmm.
are. We are, and we're going to live our lives. And you know something? We're going to live for full and productive lives. Yeah, we
mm-hmm.
have our conditions. We have our circumstances. We made
mm-hmm.
our mistakes. But now life
mm-hmm.
goes on, and that's the beautiful part
right.
about life, because life gives you that new beginning as long as you continue to live. You know? It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. All right, guys, we got like 2 minutes left to the show. I want to remind everybody, rise and shine this Friday at ICS 3 to 5.
Yay.
Dawn is
yes.
going to be in the house.
Yes.
Dawn
yes.
is going to be, it's going to be hosted by Ms. V. Dawn is going to be in the house, and Damon Rozier is going to be in the house. So this is going to be a really good and uplifting program, an event. Make sure you guys come out. You can make a day of it by starting at ICS. Take advantage of some of the art programs they have going on before the show, before the event. Stay for 3 to 5, you know, for the Rise and Shine event. And after that, there's going to be bingo and Friday Night Hangout, or you can head on over to Axis because they're going to be having their nighttime spin class. I think it's Glow in the Dark spin class. So that's
sure.
going to be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you come out
mm-hmm.
to Rise and Shine, because this is going to be an uplifting
mm-hmm.
event. It really
mm-hmm.
is.
Yes.
Sure. Join us here every Monday at
mm-hmm.
6 p.m. Next week we're going to do Guy Talk, and then Girl
cool.
Talk, and then we're going to do another team hit. We're going to another team show. And so, guys, I really appreciate you sharing such personal things. Guys, really, do not take your life, do not take your health for granted.
For granted.
Yes, indeed.
Do not take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but
take
you know,
care
have
of yourself.
I did, well, I want
you
to what? Start a Facebook page and show the journey of a person in the wheel and show my journey in the wheelchair to be able to inspire someone else. I hope you see.
Your page is called On Four Wheels, right?
Yes.
So
I'm going
so
to start a new page called All Four Wheels, My Journey in the
okay.
wheelchair. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
yes.
Okay, so good. So
mm-hmm.
check out All Your Four Wheels. Don't forget
yes.
that. And then Tyson's going to be starting another page. And when he starts that page, we will be announcing it here
on late. Love you guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Right. And thanks for sharing.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye, guys.
All right, now.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
All righty.
Bye.